I'd like to say that I really appreciate each one being here. So grateful for an opportunity for us to meet together. Anticipate the Lord inspiring the word to our hearts and our lives and helping us. We come here, at least I believe I come here. I believe you do too, though. We come here with the intent of being better equipped, to be able to face what life presents to us. And I know that all of us have our unique things that we face. I'm not young anymore, so I don't face the things that's unique to a young person. I'm just on that threshold of being considered a senior citizen, so I'm just on the threshold of experiencing the uniqueness that comes with that age bracket of life. And every one of those places that we find ourselves in has the unique characteristics, challenges in everyday life, and challenges in our soul and our spirit. I'd like to talk about a character that's in the book Pilgrim's Progress. We've been reading that in Sunday evening service and discussing that, and ahead of where we're at as a congregation, those of you that's been here and we've been reading through that, is a character by the name of Talkative. And we probably all know someone in our life that we could say they're talkative. A definition of talkative is an adjective describing someone who talks a great deal or is fond of talking. It can describe someone who is friendly and enjoys conversation, or it can have a slightly negative connotation, suggesting someone who talks excessively or about trivial things. So in a positive sense, I would like to say that I knew a man when I was a young person growing up that would have been considered talkative. And in fact, he accepted and recognized that he was a talkative person. And I know the name, but he would say he just liked to talk and get with somebody else that could. He didn't care what you talked about. He just liked to talk. He liked to visit. And he was a farmer by occupation, and he just enjoyed visiting with anybody. And all-day meeting was a time that he thoroughly enjoyed because there was more opportunity to talk to people. He was a very friendly, outgoing person. And he was not afraid to share his testimony to those that he might come in contact with. So I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and just kind of setting the stage for our thought this morning. It's talk about something that's just some general fundamentals here. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So some might say, well, if the Lord knows what my needs are, then why should I have to pray? Why should I have to say anything? Well, there's another place, and the subject is not prayer. The subject this morning is talkative. Another scripture, another passage says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We are instructed to pray. It's our avenue to communicate our heartfelt desires, our dreams, the things that we want the Lord to provide for us, the solutions, the answers, the things that we need assistance in our life. It's our avenue to communicate that to the Lord is through prayer. In this admonition here, these are Jesus' words recording, and he says, don't pray like the hypocrites do. don't use a lot of vain repetition like the heathen do. Don't just say a little phrase over and over again. It's not effective. Pray to hear yourself pray, okay? I'm not advocating short prayers. I believe that prayers can be rather lengthy, and there are times that there is a lot that we want to pray about. There may be, you may want to go through and enumerate at your home, and there's times that when we pray, and I've heard someone else in the congregation here that in their prayers they would name everyone in the congregation out in their prayer one by one. I think that's a wonderful thing to do, is to name everyone out that you know that needs the Lord's help and their blessing and the Lord's blessing. I think that's not vain repetition. That's not just praying. That is showing a level of sincerity. And his admonition here is to just be repeating something for the sake of repeating it. He says, don't do that. To be talkative in our prayers, let's keep it as a positive characteristic, and not if we're talkative in our prayers, that means that we have a lot of things and we are looking for ways to express our sincere desire to the Lord. And he wants to hear us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to pray. So don't cut your prayers short because of this message this morning. But if you're just saying words over and over and over again, or maybe to see how fast you can say them, I'm going to tell you that's not an effective way to pray. That's a negative connotation of being talkative. In Acts the 26th chapter and the 24th verse, Paul was explaining we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit, but Paul was explaining how his conversion came to be to those that were calling him into question and the stand that he took. And if we read in 26 and 24 of the book of Acts, it says, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said, with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Now I'm going to tell you, if you go up and just read what Paul said, to me it doesn't sound like he was saying anything crazy. It didn't sound like he was saying anything out of line. He wasn't repeating himself. He was just describing the situation, what he heard Jesus say to him on that road to Damascus and how he responded to it. And in his personal experience, that's what he was saying. But Festus said, "Much learning hath made thee mad." In our talking, it's very important for us to make sure that what we're saying and communicating is being able to resonate or be understood by those that we want to listen to us. All of us here have terminology that we're familiar with that probably the rest of us aren't. Last Sunday night, there's something I was vaguely familiar with, but I didn't really know what it was. And so we were talking after service. Brother Mark said something about PVA. Well, you probably heard PVA about on paint. And until he explained it to me, it was really going over my head. I didn't know what PVA was. I do now. I feel like I'm better equipped in construction environment because of the conversation that we had a week ago. And you could put a term on me today that I don't know, and you could just keep going on and be so talkative about it and maybe tell me all the benefits of something, but if you don't ever stop and explain what you're talking about, it might never really sink in and really be a benefit to me. Festus was not, he was not of Jewish descent. He didn't understand the concepts. He was an idolatrous person, and he didn't understand what it meant to have a relationship with the God of heaven. And he said to Paul, "Paul, you got to be crazy. You're talking about something that it makes no sense to me." And he was trying to just subdue Paul. He wasn't trying really hard to understand. But there are times that our talking needs explanation. And I'd like to encourage us, if somebody, if their expression is just kind of glazing over, so to speak, and you can tell they're there, but they're not really with you, maybe it's time to stop and say, does it make sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I'm not trying to say that Paul should have done anything any different. I'm just trying to make a point this morning. If in our talking, let's make sure, if we're trying to share information, let's make sure that we share terms and communicate it in a way that it's understandable. So, talkative in Pilgrim's Progress was a man that Pilgrim, or the Pilgrim Christian, and his companion pilgrim named Faithful came in contact with on their journey as they was walking along. And when we get to that point, or if you have already read the book and you remember this setting in the book, when they come in contact with Talkative, he talked a lot. He had a lot to say. The response from Christian, and ultimately it ended up being a conversation between Talkative and Faithful. Faithful's response was always a one-liner, just one little sentence. And then Talkative had a paragraph, and Faithful had one sentence, and Talkative had another paragraph. And that's the way their conversation was. And because he had so much to say, Faithful was of the persuasion that he was a wonderful person. Faithful believed that he was someone that could be so beneficial to their association. But the point of my message this morning is goes along with the subject of in our Sunday school lessons this quarter of being a real Christian. And Brother Rodney pointed out this morning that we really shouldn't have to use the word real in front of the word Christian. It's either a Christian or not. And unfortunately, you have to use that word because there are those that are talkative. And this talkative talked are good talk. Have you ever run into somebody that could talk a good talk? I would say that every one of us here that have been involved in a skilled trade of any sort have run into those that could really talk the talk. And I could probably tell you a little bit about another trade, and I could talk about the trade that I followed. But you know, what it really comes down to is not just can you talk about it, but can you do it? And what's the finished product look like? You can talk about painting. You can talk about finishing sheetrock. You can talk about backing up to a dock with a semi. You can talk about whatever your trade is. You can talk about taking care of livestock, how to handle unruly creatures and get them to get in the trailer or go through the chute or what. You can talk all about that, but when it comes right down to it, if somebody is watching you operate, can you do it or not? Is it really there, or is it just a talk? And Christian, in the book, Christian had some insight that Faithful didn't have. And the insight he had was that it didn't matter where talkative was talking. And talkative could talk the talk, whether he was talking with someone about religious things or about secular things or about even things that were unrighteous. He talked it. And when they began to ask him questions, when Faithful began to ask him questions about his own personal experience, he became defensive, and it became evident that he didn't have it. He was just talkative. He didn't know what it was like. He could talk about what you should do or what the expectation was, but he didn't have it. So I want us to think this morning about, are we just a talkative person, or do we have the goods on hands? I'd like to go to Romans, the second chapter, and notice what Romans said. It's not about talking. But let's look at Romans chapter 2. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "For as many as have sinned without law should also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, When shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now, without getting really deep into this passage of Scripture, I believe we can talk about it superficially a little bit, and that it is talking about those that inherently have a sense of right and wrong, even though they haven't been taught. There is an inherent sense among humanity about maybe not taking something that doesn't belong to you, not injuring another person, whether it's physically or verbally or whatever. There is some level of sense of right and wrong in that that we all come with, unless it's been trained out of us. And I believe that's some of what he's referring to. And he's talking about those that didn't know the law, like the Gentiles. They weren't raised knowing the Old Testament law. But yet, maybe they had a respect for one another's property that maybe someone that knew the law had disregarded because they were unwilling to be obedient. And that's some of what he's talking about there. I want to keep reading a little bit. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew and resteth in the law and maketh thy boast of God and knoweth his will and approvest the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light to them that are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? What's he saying? Are you just the talker? Or do you really live to what you talk about? I've been disappointed to learn. I've tried to do some investigating, but to learn that there are one man in particular, but I'm sure there's more, that my perception was that they lived an honorable life. And I've had to look on, and over the course of my life, they've passed away, I'll just say it that way, really before I came into this world, or they were long before I was aware of who they were. But the things that they are reported to have stood for, I've had a lot of respect for it. But information that has come to my understanding is that they talked a lot, but they didn't live to what they talked about. And you know how disappointing that is? You know how disappointing it is to have heard someone talk about living a godly life, about what it meant to respect other people's property, about their position against things that are unlawful, against violence, against those kind of things, and yet you find out that that's not the way they live. You know how damaging that is? It's terrible. That's what talkative was in the book, Pilgrim's Progress. So when we get there, if you're not there, When we get to that point, talkative is nothing more than a hypocrite. He talks religion. He talks about knowing God, and yet he doesn't really live it. And that is such a, it has such heavy consequence and such far-reaching effects. It says here in Romans, where we're reading the second chapter of Romans, it says, thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? If you're teaching someone else, don't you think it applies to you too? If I tell everybody that I work with, you got to use a torque wrench on the lug nuts, and I don't use it, what's that saying? If I tell everybody, it says, thou that preachest, a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Are you taking things that you don't belong to you? You know, if I'm preaching don't steal, and yet when I get in somebody else's car, I chew all their gum up. maybe that's petty. Maybe you think that's inconsequential. But you have to hold yourself to a stand. If I'm preaching to someone else, you don't steal, you don't participate in something that the world has to offer, some vice that the world, do I do it or not? It's powerful if we live to what we preach. It's powerful if we live to what we teach. But I'm going to tell you, it's also equally consequential if we don't. If we testify, if we preach that we're one thing and we do something else, it's very, very damaging. And we become like talkative in the book, Pilgrim's Progress. Let's read a little more. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? You know, the scripture says, he that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. I believe adultery is wrong. So how do you put all that together? You know, we live in a world that looking is very accessible. How do we live? A powerful testimony is one that lives up to what they preach. This is close living, folks. But it's living that we have to live if we want our testimony to ring true. If we want it to be effectual in the climate that we live in today, we can't be a talkative. We have to be someone that maybe you do enjoy talking. To talk a lot wears me out. I could not debate for hours on end. I might start out pretty strong if I was a debating nature, and I'm not, but I might start out pretty strong, but by the time we were done, my voice would literally have played out. After standing behind this desk and trying to share what's on my heart and speak with conviction, many times my voice feels very weak. I think others notice it too afterwards. So, some people, it seems like they're like an energizing bunny. The more they talk, the more they can talk. And I'm not. I'm just not that kind. But it says here, thou, if you teach, don't you teach yourself? If you preach that you don't do something, Do you do it? Simple question. If you say a man shouldn't commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Do you look at stuff you shouldn't? Thou that abhorrest an idol, dost thou commit sacrilege? Do you have something that you put before God? Yes, you say, I worship God. And yet, if there's something else that takes precedence over me worshiping the Lord, that's sacrilege. It says here, thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? It's a question. If you make your boast of the law, you're dishonoring the Lord if you break the law. It says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Let's read that again. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Who's he talking to? He's writing to those of Hebrew descent that knew the law, and he said, God is blasphemed because you had the law, and yet you're doing things contrary to the law. Maybe you're telling other people you got to do this, this, and this, and yet you don't live it yourself. So that causes the Gentiles to blaspheme or say there's nothing to it. That's what it means to blaspheme. To say it's just fictitious. It's just a mirage. It's just something out there that's not reality. Says for circumcision verily availeth, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. And maybe we won't get into all the peculiarities of this, but what he's talking about here is if you hold and adhere to one thing and yet you violate the law in something else, you've just made the thing you adhere to so strongly not really have that much meaning. You know, if you say, don't steal, remember, that's what the preacher up there above, it says, the preacher, you preach you don't steal, but anything you see that's laying down, if you don't have a padlock on, you pick it up and take it with you. You made the whole point irrelevant, right? So if I'm talking about being a real Christian, if I'm talking about having real compassion, if I'm talking about really trying to share the hope that the gospel has of making us a new creature. Am I a new creature? Or am I just a scoundrel like everybody else that I rub shoulders with in the world? Lord, help us to be real. It's important that we have the goods on hands. It's important that I'm not just a talkative like the character in the book. Because Christian basically told his companion Faithful, we don't need him. He'll corrupt us. He'll cause us to lose our vision. And I want our vision as a little congregation this morning to be clear. I want us to be real. You know, if you buy a package of cheese, sometimes they got that real thing on that. What does that mean? Does it mean it's made out of soybean oil? No. You know, if I look on the ingredients, it better say milk. If I look in the ingredients and it says soybeans, then I know it's not real. There's cheese products out there made out of soybeans, if y'all didn't know that. And it kind of tastes like cheese. But it's not real. I like real cheese. I like real butter, too. My wife likes real butter, so that means we get along. We don't like margarine. We don't buy margarine because it's made out of something that's not real. I want us to be real. I want us to have it, not just be a talkative, not just be running on and saying, you know, this is what it does and this is what it should be and this is what it ought to do for you, but to have it. Not just be talkative. We want to be faithful and a Christian, as faithful and Christian were in the book, Pilgrim's Progress. You've probably heard expressions that I'm going to share. Practice what you preach. It's important. Practice what you preach. I heard something said many years ago. I don't know who said it first. Or altogether the content or context that it was said in, but something like this was said. We don't care how high you jump as long as you walk straight when you hit the ground. You want to jump? Jump. You want to praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. But let's don't just be a demonstration. I want it to have the goods but to back it up. I want to be sure. I tell the guys that I work with, if you come to a diagnosis on a car you're trying to fix, you need to be able to prove it to yourself. How did I come to the point? I'm telling this customer they need to spend a lot of money on their car. How do I prove it to myself that if this was my car, I'd buy the same part and put it on my car? I want to be that sure. I want to be able to say, I know I've got to do this. There's times that we have to say, I've got one right now. Exhaust was completely clogged up. The truck start and run about maybe 30 seconds. I was going to say 5 seconds. Maybe run 30 seconds and it just smothered out and died. And there's a filter on the exhaust that's completely stopped up. I got to fix that first. I don't know what else might be wrong with it, but I have to fix this first. All right? If it was my vehicle, this is where I would have to start. I have to do this first. And then I can move on. There may be something else. I don't think so, but I've got to do this first. If you're going to jump, by all means jump. I like those that can rejoice and demonstrate. But let's walk straight when we hit the ground. We could say that about praying. We could say it about preaching. We could say it about singing. We could sing it about testifying. We could say it about a lot of things. Possession, as the old saying is 9/10 of the law. Possession. I want to possess the goods. I want to have it in my heart and not just talk about it. I want to really have it and be able to demonstrate it. There's things that I don't believe because I haven't seen it demonstrated. And you probably can say the same thing. There's times that you say, I just don't believe this, or I don't believe that because I haven't seen it demonstrated. I'd like to conclude with a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'd like to notice how it says. Talks about a servant of the Lord. I think it's probably specifically talking maybe about someone that would be a minister or a teacher in a setting similar to this, but I think it applies to all of us to a great extent. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Read maybe verse 23 starting. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. This sets a precedence. The servant of the Lord must not strive, must not be someone that is just looking out for themselves, must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You know, sometimes there are those that oppose themselves, do things that hurt their own intentions. And there are times that we need to be real, real to the point and the extent that we can help those that might oppose themselves to get back on track. My wife has this little railroad thing. I fixed a board for it. She likes to set it up with some little houses at Christmas time, and it's a really cheap little train that runs on plastic track, and it's mostly plastic railroad cars, and it'll go around. Sometimes it'll get one wheel that's not on track, and it'll keep going and make noise, but it'll go all the way around with dragging one wheel a little bit. And sometimes we're going to run into those that have opposed themselves and they're kind of off track a little bit. And Lord, help us to be real, not a talker. It's okay to talk. Don't get me wrong. It's all right to be talkative in a positive sense. But I don't want us to be the talkative in the book Pilgrim's Progress, because he just talked and he didn't have it. I want us to be the person that has it. We can put the real sticker on your life, the real sticker on your character, the real essence of the gospel being demonstrated. You have gentleness and you have kindness and you're willing to help those that oppose themselves get back on track. Lord, help us to be able to do that. He said here, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, the devil wants us to not just get one wheel off track. He wants us to tip our train car over. He wants us to get completely off track. He wants us to lose our way. And God wants those that are not just the talkative ones, those that are real, the ones that you can put the sticker on, the ones that you can depend on, to be gentle, to be kind, to be helpful to those that have opposed themselves. To help those that the devil doesn't completely destroy them. I want us, each one of us here this morning, to be able to be the one that is a servant of the Lord, not striving to try to out-talk somebody else and out-maneuver them. I just want to be the helper that can help them, help the other person get on track. And if you got off track, Lord, help us to help one another get back on track. I want us to be able to meet each other in peace, and not just peace here, but peace at the judgment. I want the Lord to be able to confirm or affirm that the real sticker is really real. if you understand what I'm saying. I want us to have the goods. If you're preaching, if you're teaching, and we're all preaching and teaching, okay, by how we live. Do we have the goods on hands? If you tell your children something, don't do this or you ought to do that, do you do it? Do we live it? Lord, help us. I want to do more than just talk the talk. I've said in classes before, along the lines of my occupation, and I've said in classes where it was obvious the person that was an instructor had never been a partaker of what he was talking about. And that is, it's, well, I've called him out on it. And I had a guy that stood in front of us. I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but he stood in front of us and he had a clear bottle that had some really yucky stuff in it, and he told us that there was some water and some dirt and some fuel in there. And he told us that the dirty stuff in the bottom was the fuel and the water was on the top. And I sat there for a little while, and finally I raised my hand and I said, "Sir," I said, "when I was in school, water was always heavier than diesel. And the water is going to go to the bottom. So the dirty stuff in the bottom has to be the water, and the clear stuff on the top has to be the diesel." And he said, "Well, in this case, the stuff in the bottom is the diesel, and the clear water is on the top." And I said, I told the people that was putting the class on, I said, "I can't come back and listen to this." I said, "That's wrong. That's just plain wrong. And there's 50 people in here or 30 people who are going to go home, and some of them is going to believe that teacher." But he'd never been in the field. He didn't really know. So, Lord, help us to not just be the talker, but to know and have the experience and know how to help those. If you didn't know that, water's heavier than oil. And just remember, the water always goes to the bottom, and it's the first thing out of the drain plug. And so if anybody tells you different than that, they're wrong. Maybe you got that out of the sermon this morning and didn't get anything else. But Lord, help us to know how to know when the answer, when it's right and when it's wrong, and to have the goods on hand. It'll be the convincing argument in the time of distress. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.